to speak to us this morning about Revelation. We're not going to do the book of Revelation, because if it was going to be, then I would say, please, with your app, switch off your phone, or switch off your oven, because it's going to be a long story. No, it's going to be about Revelation's reveal. But before we're going to start, let's just close our eyes. Thank you, Father, that you are Father, that we can come to you. And Father, it's many times that we've got a distorted picture of a father, because we only can refer to an earthly father. But you are a perfect father. You're a father who's interested in us. You're a father who knows what is in our hearts. And you're a father who also knows what's in our mind. You also already know the words which are going to be spoken beforehand. You're a perfect father. And it's actually such a privilege that we as children can come to you, that we can sit down and that we can look up and that we can say, Father. Such a privilege that we've got that possibility that we can come through Jesus Christ, which gives us access into the throne room. And Father, this morning as we come, I pray that we're going to come with an expectation. And whatever kept our minds busy this morning, if it was too late with the clock or the bus, or if there was anything else which was disturbing us, Father, or even this week, that we can set it aside, that we can say, that's not going to disturb this morning. This morning our eyes are going to be on you, Father. We want to see what you want to reveal to us today. And Father, I pray, Lord, if there's anything unclean spirit which is trying to disturb us, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you. You're not going to disturb. You're not going to distract anyone this morning, because we all look up to you, Father, and we look up with an expectation to you. And thank you, Father, that our hearts can be open as well, Father. And I feel that there are hearts over here, Lord, this morning, which are closed with the type of a lock, but with an old lock. And Father, you've given us authority, and in the name of Jesus Christ, I break open those locks, that our hearts can be open, that we can be ready to receive from you this morning, Father. That we're not going to come with a certain idea, ach, what is he going to tell me now? Ach, what is he going to speak about? Is it the same again? And so on and so on. But Father, that they will look through me and that they can see you. That the words what I'm saying are not going to be my words, Father, but that those words are coming from you, Father. That those words are going to be at the right spot at the right time, Father. You've got an appointment with the people this morning, Father. And I pray that I can be used for delivering the message. Thank you, Father, again, that we've got that privilege to come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We all would like to know sometimes certain things. And we call it that our eyes are going to be opened so that we can see certain things which are blocked or which are not visible for us. And I just wanted to read one verse which is, for a lot of us, we know that verse, but it's again, it's opening the eyes, and it's where Elisha is talking to his servant. Elisha was now in his house, and the king of Syria has sent a lot of people with chariots and with horses to go and kill him. And the servant comes out in the morning and he looks around and he sees all these chariots and the horses. He's very afraid and he runs inside. And then Elisha says, Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots. But there's a difference now, of fire. It's not chariots and horses, but it's chariots and horses of fire all around Elisha. It doesn't say that Elisha saw those horses and those chariots. I think in his heart, he knew it. God is always with us. Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And I feel as well there's also somebody here this morning who can take this line, what I just now said, can take it along with you. That if you're in your area and you feel really, but here are now chariots and horses around me, remember, those who are with us, those who are with you, are more than those who are with them. And this morning we're going to talk about reveal and revelation, and I'm going to take both words and just talk a little bit about it so that we're not going to get confusion. There have been thick books written about it, the difference between reveal and revelation. I'm not going to have a long discussion about it. I'm just going to, both of them, read them in context, which hopefully then will explain then what the both words mean. The first one is where Jesus was talking to his disciples, and then he asked a question, and he said, "Who do the people say I am?" And then they gave the answers. And then the second time, he asked the question, "But who do you say I am?" And now he was talking to his disciples. "Who do you say I am?" And then Peter replied, "You're the Son of the living God." And then Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And here we can see now the word revealed. And the word revealed is coming from the Greek word. And sorry for my pronunciation, I haven't been brought up in Greece. Apokalypto. And apokalypto has got, it's split, that word. It has got two different parts in it. The first is apo, it's a type of away. It's something which has been taken away. And then kolupto means it's a cover, a height, a cap. So it's taking the cap off. It's revealing something. It's disclosing something. And this is what the word reveal means over here. Revelation. And if we want to know what the word revelation means, then we go to the book of Revelations, and then we go to Revelations 1 verses 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his servants things must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, which God gave to Jesus Christ to show his servants. So Jesus had to show it to his servant, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel. And then again, it was Jesus who sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. And here we've got the word revelation. And the revelation, the word is apokalypsis. And immediately we can see it's more or less the same as this apokalypto. And it means a disclosure, an appearing, a coming, a lightning, a manifestation, being revealed, revelation. And this is where Jesus is talking then to John, approximately 60, 65 years after the resurrection and the ascension of John. So this is something which is, some time has passed in the meantime. And John can write it down. And it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Jesus Christ. We're going to have a look this morning at two questions. The one question is, how does God reveal himself to us? And the other question is, when is God revealing himself to us? Now, if we're going to start with how God is revealing himself to us, the Word, the Bible, this is how God is revealing himself to us. God is speaking directly. In the beginning, we can go to Genesis 2, verses 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat." It's a word directly from God. God is revealing directly to us what is his demands, what is he, what he's looking for, what is he asking from us. There was also an audible voice with Jesus' baptism that was in Matthew. And all of a sudden a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Again, God is speaking directly. It's written down as God spoke. So this is how God is revealing himself in the Bible. God also spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament. If we go to the Old Testament, if we go to Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and the smaller prophets, how many times are we not hearing, "Thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord. The word of God came to me, thus says the Lord." All of you should have read it in the Bible, "thus says the Lord." So God was speaking through the prophets in the Old Testament also to us. And he was also revealing himself through the prophets then in the Old Testament of what was going to come. The Old Testament, the prophets were prophesying. In the New Testament, the apostles, they were testifying about Jesus. And one who started testifying is John the Baptist. He was the first one who testified. He was the first one who was a witness of Jesus. John the Baptist was revealing God's plan of how God wanted to put that plan into action. He was revealing that plan. So there was a revelation through John. And John testified about Jesus. And John also witnessed about Jesus. Now, if we are witnessing, then we are standing in a court. And a witness has got a very high value if he's seen something or experienced something and he can explain it then to the judge over there. Now, I'm going to take a verse now, and the ladies who've been pregnant before are maybe going to agree with me that if something is coming into a room, let's say the father of the child is coming into the room and he starts talking, that the mother feels that the child is moving. Am I correct, my wife? Sometimes. Thank you. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came from to bear witness of the light, that all through him may believe. He was not that light, but he was to bear witness of that light. He had to bear witness. But John could bear witness because even when he was in his mother's womb, he already experienced the presence of Jesus. That's Luke 1:39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that a baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. John could already testify about it. He could already witness it because he experienced it already before he was born. This is really a good witness, a good person who can testify about Jesus. God also spoke through the apostles. That the Lord gave words to the apostles and he was revealing himself to us through the apostles. 1 Thessalonians 2. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. The words what the apostles have been saying, the words which have been written down by the apostles, are words from God. This is how God revealed himself to us. And we cannot take it lightly, those type of words, what we've got in the Bible, which have been written down by the apostles. And thirdly, Jesus, or fourthly, Jesus. Whatever Jesus has spoken is the word of God. Jesus is part of the God. Whatever he's spoken is the word of God. So each and every time when Jesus says, I say to you, Matthew 5, but I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. We hear Jesus is speaking and Jesus is revealing the word of God through that. So that's all in the Bible. And yes, we get other revelations. We get other revelations from a pope and we get other revelations from Bill Johnson and so on and so on. And we can put them all there. But if I have to put, let's say, a certain distance between them, I would say those two cannot actually see each other. This is much, much, much more important as all the video clips, all the sermons, all the whatever we see, much more important. But we're not finished. We carry on. God is revealing himself through the Bible, but God is revealing himself also through Jesus. Because what we could read and what the apostles could see is exactly how God felt and what God wanted to do. Jesus loved the creation. We can see that. God loves the creation. And Jesus revealed it. Jesus revealed it over there. Loved the creation so much that he was prepared to give whatever could be given. Jesus also got passionate about people. God is passionate about all of us. And sometimes we feel, but how can God be passionate about me? God is passionate about each and every one of us. If you take a look at the one next to you, That person has been created by God. That person has been knitted together in that person's mother's womb by God. This is how important you are. This is how important all the people in London are, and in England are, and in Europe are, and all over the world are. It's not a matter of that we can say, okay, they are a little bit higher and they are a little bit lower. Nothing. We're all important, very, very important. And Jesus revealed that. We've never we can read that Jesus at a certain time says, now with those people, I do not want to heal them, or those people. He was open for each and every one. There were some of them who didn't want to communicate with him, who didn't want to receive from him, but he was open. He was there to communicate and to speak to each and every one what he had to speak. Jesus was forgiving sins. God is forgiving sins. Jesus was revealing then what God is doing on this earth. Jesus was healing. Jesus was sending demons out. And Jesus at the final end, he gave his life for us so that we've got access to him. So Jesus is revealing who God is, but Jesus was also revealing how we can get to God, how we can go to the Father and call him that perfect Father. And Jesus is doing it with the same words as what John the Baptist started, and the same words as what Peter started as well when they asked, what must we do? Repent. And saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's so important, that word, repent. Because if we're not repenting, nothing is happening. We've got to repent. We cannot quickly say sorrow, but we've got to repent. Because Peter also said when they asked him, what must we do? And he said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. On a Thursday evening, we go inside of Utrecht and we walk around and we speak to different people. Let's put it, we try to speak to different people. Sometimes they do not want to speak to us. And we try to explain the gospel to them, to share the gospel with them. And if possible, come to that important question. What does it mean to you? Do you want to make that decision? Do you want to be a child of God or not? And then we get two final answers. The one is they reject. They simply say, I'm not interested. I'm on the way to the shop. I don't want to hear anything about Jesus. And they simply carry on. And then there are the others who are prepared to listen, where we can share the gospel, and that we pray that there's still going to be a decision which they're going to take in their life. A few times we get it that we've got that people will take that decision, and that we can go through the sinner's prayer, and that people can be part of our family. But if we're going to have a look at those who accept Jesus Christ, we actually can split those up again in two as well. Because you've got certain people who receive it, and then it stops. But you've got others who receive it and carry on with it. And there's a difference. John 1 verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. This is now Jesus. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If we read 12 again, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. There are two words over there, receive and believe. Receive is a noun. It's a single act. I'm giving you something and you receive it. But if we take a look at the word believe, a believe is a verb. It carries on continuously. If we are believing in God, if we're saying we're believing in God, but we don't do anything with it, we only received. But if we received it and we believe it, then we are sharing it with other people. Then it's a secret, what we want to, a secret, best message what we ever can get, and we want to share it with other people. When I was busy with a sermon, I thought, how can I actually put it maybe in one sentence? And then I wrote it down and I thought, okay, thank you, Lord. Salvation is not a destiny. Salvation is only the starting point. But if we think it's a destiny, that once we've received Jesus Christ and we can sit on the chair and then we can wait for the second coming of Jesus, this is not what God's word says. God's word says it must believe. It must be something which is happening with us. There must be something happening with us. Right, we said that we can receive the revealing of God through the Bible. We can receive it through Jesus, but we also can receive it through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to teach us, and the Holy Spirit wants to guide us. John 14, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all the things and bring you to remembrance all the things that I said to you. Now, those of you who are in the congregation here this morning, you must probably heard once or twice the same type of thing, the same type of testimony what Hercules maybe gave, or then you think, okay, yeah, I've heard it one before. But we all remembered. The sermon each and every Sunday is nothing else than to reminding you again of how awesome God we serve. And this is what the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit is teaching us, and the Holy Spirit is continuously remembering us of all the things I said to you. Because Jesus gave them the example, was the example. Jesus was leading them, and he's reminding them through the Holy Spirit each and every time of what has got to be done. The Holy Spirit is also guiding us. However, when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. So what the Holy Spirit receives from God, he will tell to us. And he will, through that, he will guide us. He will take us where he wants us to go. We've spoken about how God is going to reveal himself to us. We said the Bible, and then Jesus, and then also the Holy Spirit. But now we ask the question, when is God revealing himself to us? When? When is God revealing himself to us? Always. God is always revealing himself to us. And you must probably say, no, wait. You haven't been in my conditions yet. You haven't been in my desert yet. There's certain periods when God is totally missing. You can look around, I don't see inner God. There's no God whatsoever. I say, God is revealing him continuously to us, always. But we're not seeing it. We're not noting it. We're not seeing it. I'm going to try and explain it a little bit to you with the story of the Israelites out of Egypt. And when they came out of Egypt, they came to a certain mountain, and God was revealing himself over there. And the way that God is revealing himself over there, and sometimes think the people in Hollywood must try and make a type of movie about this, how God is revealing himself over there to the Israelites. Now all the people witnessed the thundering, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpets. Must be the sound of the shofar, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw, they trembled and they stood far off. And they said to Moses, you speak to us and we will hear, but let God not speak to us lest we die. They were so afraid of God. God manifested himself. God revealed himself, who he was and how enormous he is. All the people witnessed the thundering, the lightning flashes, the sound of trumpet, and the mountain smoking. They were afraid. They were very afraid. They've seen that. They've seen this God now. Exodus 20. Exodus 32, a few chapters later. And when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us a God who shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know. what has become of him. They were so afraid of God a few chapters back. God manifested and God revealed himself, and then a few chapters later, they totally forgot about him. They've seen all the miracles when they were in Egypt. They went with Moses, with God, through the Red Sea. They got manna each and every day. Miracles which happened over there. And they forgot about God. They wanted to carry on. Let's make our own God, and then we can carry on. It's happening a lot of times in this world as well, that people say, but God is not there. I'm going to make a God of myself. We can go to all those type of, if we can call it, type of beliefs which have been created by man. It's not what God is saying in his word, but what they're thinking themselves. And they make their own God, and then they follow their own God. Because Moses is telling them, if I let And I have led you for 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn on you, and your sandals have not worn on your feet. So I'm not even talking about the things what they experienced. If they just had a look at their clothes and their shoes, I've got beautiful shoes today, they would have seen, but God is there. How is it possible? Now, who of you has still got wearing the same clothes as what you were wearing 10 years back? I shouldn't have asked that question. 40 years back. If you, each and every day, if I would have putting on my clothes, I would have said, we serve awesome God. I can put on my same clothes again, same shoes. They fit for the last 39 years or 38 years or whatever the case may be. You can see God. You can experience God over there. God is showing himself over there. But the Israelites didn't take that into consideration. And the children of Israel ate manna for 40 years until they came into the inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of Canaan. They've seen everything. They were eating the manna as well. Now the manna was falling 6 days a week. The seventh day, they didn't get anything. But on the sixth day, they had to get the double portion. But they had to get it in the morning, because otherwise it would have disappeared during the day. Prophetically, I'm saying, you've got to start your day with God in the morning. If you wait, you miss it. It's gone. You've got to spend time with God in the morning. Acknowledge that he's there, because you're receiving that manna. You can have a look at your clothes. You cannot ignore God. God is there. The Israelites tried to do it. They made their own God over there. But we cannot ignore God. And we can experience God if we in the morning or starting the day, and that we say, thank you, God. This morning, my wife was still asleep and the youngest grandchild came into the room. And then I said, go to grandma and wake her up. And then he went to grandma, and then he came very close to her, less than 10 centimeters, waiting for her, for her eyes to open up. This is how God is looking at us in the morning. God is standing next to your bed. God is waiting for you. You are his child. He's excited about you. What are we going to do today? I just want to brush my teeth and get to work, and that's all I'm... Just spend 5 minutes with God. Just start with it and say, God, thank you. Because whatever I've got, whatever is around me, I cannot ignore your presence. You are here. You're awesome. You're great. You're wonderful. And if you start like that today, your day is going to be different, totally different as what you're going to start it your way. Try to start the day with God. When we said God is revealing himself always to us, but when can we receive revelations from God? When can we receive that? And I'm going to try to explain that to you out of 1 Corinthians 2. It's a little bit long, but there's one sentence in it which is giving the key, which is giving the answer of when or what has got to happen before God is revealing himself to us. It's in the letter of Corinthians. Paul was writing it to the Corinthians, and the Corinthians had three problems. They were very proud on their intellect. They were boasting of their great wealth. And they were morally corrupt. I can recognize all three of them in Utrecht. Can you recognize all three of them in London? Proud on their intellect. Boast on the great wealth and moral corrupt. And Paul is writing this letter now to the Corinthians. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, not of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, but we speak of the wisdom of God, which is a mystery. There are certain things what we do not know from God, and what we would like to know from God. All of us would like to know from God, God, where do you want me to be next year? Where do you want me to be in 5 years' time? Anyone who doesn't want to know that, of course all of us want to know that. God knows that. We can ask God. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of our rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they knew, those rulers over there, and we're talking about the people who crucified Jesus, if they knew who Jesus actually was, they wouldn't have crucified him. And then he's quoting out of Isaiah 64, verses 4, but as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And then comes the sentence of what has got to happen when God is revealing himself to us. Because God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. But God has revealed them. That mystery of God, the plans of God, the plans what God has got for us, is revealing to us through his Spirit. If there's no Spirit, God is not revealing his plans to us. It's very harsh. God has revealed them to us, the plans what he's got for us. His mystery, he's revealing it to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. And searches, it looks like the Spirit doesn't know. He has got to collect information. No, no. This is the same search what David is using in Psalm 139. Oh my Lord, you search me and know me. The Spirit knows all the things. He's aware of all those things. But the Spirit is releasing God's plan to us if we are approaching the Spirit, if we are through the Spirit, if we're going to go to God. And we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what God's plans are. What we just now heard as well, what the Spirit is hearing from God and what he can tell to us. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of a man which is in him? For no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things which have been freely given to us by God. God wants to give it to us. God wants to reveal his plans to us. But we've got to go and we've got to spend time with God. And then he will reveal it to us. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Holy Spirit. The natural man is actually rejecting. He doesn't accept the spiritual things. And like I said, we get them on a Thursday evening, that the people say, but we're not interested in God. We pray beforehand that the Holy Spirit is going to stir their hearts. But then they say they're not interested in the spiritual things of God. For they are foolish to them, nor can he know them, because they are spiritual discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have to got the spirit of Christ. We are able to understand of God's plans and God's will in our life. And I'm repeating again, the Holy Spirit wants to reveal it to us, God's plan. And yes, you can go to somebody to prophesy over you. And yes, you can pray along with other people and they're giving you certain verses or they're giving you certain pictures and so on. But may I suggest you go back to God in your quiet time and say, Lord, confirm these things which have been spoken over me. If somebody says to you, Leonard, I'm prophesying over you, you must go to Buenos Aires and you must start a church over there. Don't pack your bag. Say, I'm first going to speak to God. I want to hear from him. He is going to reveal it to me. I want to finish off with a testimony, and maybe that one is helping a little bit as well. When we were staying in South Africa, I was working quite long days, and I was getting up early in the morning, anything around 4:30, and then get up out of the house at 5:15. By that time, Renee was busy still with her first sleep. I'm not talking about her second and her third sleep. She was still busy with her first sleep. And on a Saturday morning, I could actually sleep longer if I wanted to. But you most probably imagine it didn't take much longer than I would wake up on a Saturday morning. She was still asleep. Then I would go to the kitchen and then I would make coffee and tea. Tea for myself. I start my day. I start with tea and then I have enough coffee during the day to survive. And Renee starts with coffee. And at that time it was coffee and then it was coffee and it was coffee and it was coffee the whole day. And I took the tea and the coffee back to the bedroom and I was sitting in bed and I was looking out of the window and I saw part of a tree over there. And then I started talking with God and I said, Lord, how is it possible that you, creator of heaven and earth, you've made everything, you've made that tree, you've told that tree when to drop the leaves and when to start growing and when to blossom and all those type of things. And it's just a tree, but I'm having a look at everything which is on this earth. Why are you spending time with me? I'm just a number. Children-wise, I'm one of 9 children, so which means I'm already used to it. I'm number 5. Yes, we all have got different names, but it's still a matter of that I'm in the middle. If we take a look at the Dutch population at the moment, I think 15 or 16 million, you're a number. You've got an ID number. All of us feel like that. We're just a number. But that God, the Creator, wants to speak to us, that he wants to communicate with us. And this is something which didn't happen, that I went to Jumbo and bought, or I went to Tesco and I bought a packet of something, a relationship, and then I added some water and then I had a relationship with God. No, it's not like that. It maybe is as easy as that. We've got to go to God. We've got to say, yes, I want to accept you as creator of heaven and earth. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I accept the Holy Spirit as my helper. And then we've got that relationship with God. Mine started a little bit, approximately 10 years back when I got baptized. And after I got baptized, this man of 50 years started hearing God's voice. Because there was a relationship. I could hear God's voice. I could hear what he was telling to me. But it was as a result of spending time with God. Because when I asked God, I said, but why are you spending time with me? And God answered, because you are spending time with me. Because you are spending time with me. And when I heard that, I got tears in my eyes and I thought, yes, that's true, Lord. Many years in my life, I spent time on a lot of things, which was for the world acceptable. But in my last 10 years, I'm spending time with God first. I want to know from him what is his plans. It was difficult in the beginning. I had to sit down 2-3 hours, listen to worship, put the worship on, shuffle, Lord, show me which songs I must listen to. And then God gave me songs, and I wrote down which was important in the songs, and I could see, but there's a certain line in it. It's the same. This time it's about Jesus, the other time it's about another subject, or whatever the case may be. And with that, God showed that he was prepared to speak to me, because I was prepared to spend time with God. And this is so beautiful that it's not only for me. And you don't have to be first 50 years. You don't have to be a male. You don't have to be a citizen of the Netherlands or anything like that. It's available for each and every one of us. God wants to speak to each and every one of us. It's not limited to only a few people. God wants to speak to us through His Spirit. And He will reveal Himself to us through His Spirit. And there are maybe people who say, but then I'm disqualified at the moment because I'm not experiencing, I'm not having the Spirit. But we'll come to that just now in the altar call. Please stand. Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, you want to receive us, and you want that we should believe, that we walk along with you. And Father, you want to reveal yourself to us through the Holy Spirit. And maybe this morning there's someone over here who says, but I've never publicly declared that God is my King and Jesus is my Savior. And I want to accept the Holy Spirit as my helper. And if you're here this morning and you feel that you would like to react on it and you would say, but I would like to make that decision this morning, then I'm asking you to raise your hand. And if you're here this morning and you say, but it's all fine, all about that Holy Spirit thing, and but I've never received the Holy Spirit. I've never asked God to receive the Holy Spirit. When we were praying before the sermon, I got a picture of a person standing in a pool, but the pool was empty because there was no water. And I felt that's a picture of the Holy Spirit, which is missing. And God wants to fill up your pool. God wants to give that living water to you. If you're here this morning and you say, but I've never received the Holy Spirit, and I would like to receive the Holy Spirit, that God can reveal Himself to me as well, please raise your hand. And if you're here this morning, you say, yes, that story of the Israelites, the deserts, I can relate to that. I'm not getting a revelation of God. God is not revealing Himself to me. And I'm asking now, as all eyes are closed, to raise your hand. If you feel that you are in a desert and that you say, but God is not speaking to me. I'm not hearing God's voice. I'm not hearing God's plans. I'm doing the things what I think I've got to do. God is closing and opening doors. No, God has got a plan. And God will give you that plan. But we've got to go to God, and we've got to sit with God, and we've got to ask Him. And then He will reveal His plan to us through His Holy Spirit. And if you feel that you're here this morning and you say, but I'm in the desert at the moment, I'm not hearing God's voice. At certain times, I'm having a little bit of a bad connection. But on average, I'm not hearing what God is speaking to me. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but I'm not hearing it. If that's you, please raise your hand this morning. I'm going to ask Renee to just come to you and then just anoint you. Or you can also come forward and we can pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray that we are going to spend time with you. And if we're going to spend time with you, you're going to spend time with us. But as it says in James as well, we've got to come to you and then you will come to us. But you are available, and you're available for each and every one of us, Father. And I pray, Father, that that we can hear what is your plans with us. How do you want to use us in this world? And if we've got to go for a certain work, or if we've got to go for a certain position, or if we want to get promotion or anything like that, that we're not going and say, Lord, that job, I'm going for it and I want to have it. But that we say, Lord, use me where you want me to be. That I can be an ambassador for your kingdom. That I can be a representative for your business. Because God's business is the biggest business of the whole world. 12 people started it. It's the biggest movement we've ever seen on this world. And thank you, Father, that we can come and rely on you and know that you're going to do what you promised to do. You give us what we need as your children. Thank you, Father, that you want to speak to us through your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. As the worship people are going to sing another song, or I don't know how many, if you need any prayer, please do not go home. This is time when ministry can take place. If it's for health, if it is for your work, if it is for anything, please come forward that we can pray along with you.
Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. thirsty. All who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, as deep cries out to deep, as deep cries out to deep. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus,
dip your heart in the stream of life.
sorrow and be washed away in the waves of his mercy. His deep cries out to deep, his deep cries out to deep, his deep cries out to deep. And we sing, come Lord Jesus.